From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fifth day of March 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kirk Kimmel, the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the trustee administering claims against MF Global says he has worked his way through about 12,000 of the 25,000 commodity customer claims against the failed brokerage. There are 13,000 more to go, he says. Dave Dickey will tell us how many of the 12,000 or so have been denied during today's Ag News segment. And then, if you're lucky enough to have a ticket to tomorrow's all-day Ag Outlook at the Peep House, you'll get to hear a whole lot more on the subject. I'm sure looking forward to our MF Global panel and hope you are too. For today, though, we'll settle for the news. By the way, during this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, we'll also take a look at the agricultural weather forecast that comes up as we close out our half hour together right here on willag.org. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media and the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day mixed. The nearby contract and the soft red winter wheat down 3 cents at $6.67¾. July 682¾, 3½ lower. The hard red in Kansas City down 3 at $7.24½. Corn pit, on the other hand, higher in Chicago, up 7¼ at $6.66¼ in the March. May futures at $6.60¾, 5¾ higher in July corn. $6.62¼, up 6 cents. December futures, $5.71¼, a penny and a quarter higher for the day. And the March futures at $5.81½, up 1½ cents. March soybeans, $13.19¼, down 9. May at $13.25, 8 lower. July, $13.32¼, down 8. And the August at $13.22, 8½ lower. November beans, $12.89, down 9 cents. Bean meal futures at $3.56.20, down 1.10. Bean oil at $53.41. 35 cents lower on the day. Live cattle futures finished the June at $125.90, down $1.37½ for the afternoon. The April feeders at $158.95 were $2.37½ lower. The May contract there at $160.55, down $2.30. And the May lean hogs today, $97.87½ per 100 pounds, down 67½ cents. You, of course, are listening to Illinois Public Media and the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures in the April contract at $106.78 a barrel, up 8 cents. Ethanol at $228.09. That's 2¼ higher for the afternoon. Natural gas at $236.04, down 12 cents. Heating oil or diesel fuel, a penny and 7 cents higher at $321.08. And the gold futures on the day, $1,703, down $5.08. The U.S. dollar at $79.3. That's down 0.1. And the CRB index at 319.45, down 1.72. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area, as it comes to the National Weather Service this afternoon, says that we should see sunny skies yet today, a high of 37 degrees with a west wind at 6 to 8 miles an hour. Tonight it'll be mostly clear, a low of 30 with a southwest wind at 8 to 16. That'll gust all the way to 21. And then on Tuesday, sunny skies, a high of 58 degrees. It'll be windy with a southwest wind at 17 to 20, increasing to 28 to 31. Winds could gust all the way to 41 tomorrow. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 43, breezy with a southwest wind at 18 to 21. And Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 61. Wednesday night, showers and thunderstorms likely. It'll be cloudy and breezy, a low of 47. A chance precip tomorrow. It's Wednesday night, that is, at 60%. And then on Thursday, showers likely, mostly cloudy. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a 34-degree low. And Friday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 47 degrees. Friday night, partly cloudy at a low of 32. Saturday, sunny, a high of 51. Saturday night, cloudy at a low of 38. By the time we get to Sunday, a chance of showers. It will not be sunny. Mostly cloudy and a high of 57 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, the National Weather Service tells us tomorrow that it's going to be really breezy, but warm, 58 degrees, and we could have wind gusts all the way to 41 in the area. I guess we'll all blow into Covington, Indiana, to the Beef House for the big all-day Ag Outlook meeting. Kind of looking forward to tomorrow.
Yeah, I can't believe it's here already. And typically we see some type of market reaction, also a weather reaction. But this might be the first time we've had big wind advisories during the meeting.
Well, we've had all kinds of things over the years. This is year, 22, I believe, for our all-day agricultural outlook meeting. And we sure are looking forward to being there and having everybody in house. Should be a full house. I think maybe 4:30 or so in the house tomorrow. It'll be a packed house. It's sold out, so we'll be looking forward to doing that. What are you going to tell them tomorrow? Anything fun?
Well, I think there's some optimism there. Especially I'm on the bean panel, and bean market's been the big leader here over the last month, and I think there's some optimism there, especially with everybody looking at bigger production last fall and early last winter out of the southern hemisphere. That did not happen. Plus, two, Asia particularly, so came back into the U.S. here to get some coverage on. I'm not saying that beans are going to $18, $19 by all means, but there's some optimism there that this green market could hold together here until we get the crop in the ground and see what type of summer weather pattern we have. Because when you look at the world supply-demand balance sheets, the domestic supply-demand balance sheet, the end-user buyers will be on edge here to try to get some coverage on breaks here until we know what type of production prospects we have this coming crop year, Todd.
In Chicago today, beans lost 9 cents in the nearby March contract. November was also down 9 cents. It settled at $12.89, but both are around that $13 mark. What do you think of that as a price for either old or new crop?
Yeah, for those who need to make some sales or do scale-up selling, we've reached a benchmark here to warrant some sales. Technically, we reached some retracement levels, some Fibonacci retracement levels particularly. Momentum indicators are a little overbought. So the market's due to pause here. We saw Asia get some coverage on. They're probably going to back off here for a little bit. Argentine dock workers back to work. Truckers haven't picked up the signal to strike yet. So there's several things in here that warrants maybe a little bit of a back and fill type of correction here over the next day or two type.
Turn your attention to the corn market, where futures finished the day higher. March was at 666 and a quarter, and the December futures at 571 and a quarter. But that March, May, July time frame, they're all pretty close in price, and March is leading the way in that one.
Historic. Even the cash side of the equation, the basis level, this is the first time in it's been about 7-8 years since we've seen this dynamic type of market action. Premium up front here, talking to elevators and the cash guys, it's awful hard to pry cash corn loose from producers. Ideas are that maybe this report here towards the end of the week could probably show a little less carry out. So there's some urgency in this old crop corn to keep it firm here to keep the grain moving to the pipeline. However, the new crop continues to struggle with the old crop, just the fear that we're going to have more acres and a better chance to have close to trend line yields.
So we do have a World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate report due at the end of the week. Some ideas that you've already said that might show a few less bushels of corn at the end of the year than are on hand at the moment, which expectations are what, 801 million bushels, I think, for our carryout, right?
Yeah, that was last month. We feel maybe it could be just a little bit below that 800 benchmark. But when you look at the long-term supply demand balance sheet, it was back in the 2003-2004 crop, we were down to 958 million bushels. And to get tighter than that, you got to go clear back to the 95-96-97 area, where we're down to 426-883. So this old crop corn remains historically tight, and also it remains historically tight on the global scale, too.
You mean at this time of year, right?
Correct.
Because we finished last year at a lower number. Right?
Right.
Running, yeah, 650. You had me thinking about that one for a second. I was like, really? But the numbers are tight, nonetheless, as we look into this. And when you look into the end of the March, because it is over the July contract at this point, what does it, if anything, really tell you about the summer time frame and how explosive it might be for corn? And how do you weigh that against a 94 million acre crop if that actually comes to fruition?
Well, that's the thing, guys. Gold crop corn, man, they're counting their money already here and figuring, well, man, if it's high now, it's going to be higher down the road. But talking to the end users here, they're trying to get coverage on now. And we kind of feel that, you know, it's going to take extreme weather or something to really get the trade excited about getting additional coverage. Our fear is that the end users will shut down, take some downtime. Then plus two, when we look at big acres and a fairly dry spring in here, if we can get this crop in the ground fairly early, they'll rob this new crop production to satisfy old crop demand.
Hmm. Anything else we need to talk about before I let you go for the day? You want to take up livestock?
Cotton.
Okay,
cotton. up limit. India, the second world's largest exporter, suspended exports here for a while. So this cotton market took off just like a rocket here today. Ideas is cotton could probably be the agricultural commodity to watch here over the next 2 or 3 weeks. To answer your question on the livestock, continue to feel that these fats here up above 130 is going to be fairly stiff resistance. Even the feeders around this 160 is probably going to catch them to the upside there too, Todd.
Hey, do you have the cotton chart in front of you?
Yeah.
Can you pull it up? Because I just don't remember. Was it not, and I know wheat started things a couple of years ago, but when we were in 06, was it cotton that really pushed the marketplace to begin with when we started to head up? Was it the first one to respond? Can you go back that far?
I don't have the long term one in front of me. Yeah.
That's okay, because it just seems to me, I was thinking about that when you said cotton. I was like, well, it seems to me in 06 we had a really large corn crop coming in the fall, but that the cotton market was the one that was really hot because we were short of cotton acres at that point. And I wondered whether that was similar to what we were seeing, except coming out of India this time around. So, well, something to think about, and we can look it up and talk about it at the All Day Ag Outlook tomorrow. How about that?
Very good.
All right. Thanks so much, Kurt, and I really look forward to seeing you there at the Beep House in Covington, Indiana.
See you bright and early.
Okay, that's right. It'll be early. Thanks so much. That is Kurt Kimmel. He is with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural markets.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Now, the Closing Market Report, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. It does come to you from the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign. If you'd like to hear more from us or hear what Kurt had to say again, you can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now here's your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the trustee for MF Global's Fallen Brokerage said he is nearly halfway through the process of determining the validity of more than 25,000 claims from commodities customers burned by MF Global's collapse. Trustee James Gliddens said in a court filing on Friday, he has deemed 12,143 claims valid, denying only three. He has another 13,000 claims to get through, according to the filing. Deeming a claim valid legitimizes the claim itself, but does not guarantee full payback. Gliddens will decide to what extent he can make payments on claims after he finishes determining their validity. The trustee said he has also received 841 claims from MF Global's securities customers, but did not say whether he has made decisions on their validity. Customers have been in limbo since regulators discovered a significant shortfall in MF Global's customer accounts last October. A new study from the United Soybean Board claims that Americans could pay up to $16.8 billion more for meat, milk, and eggs if more regulations are imposed on the livestock and poultry industries. The United Soybean Board commissioned the study, Consumer and Food Safety Costs of Offshoring Animal Agriculture. The study suggests that increasing regulations could drive up the cost of protein production anywhere from 10 to 25%, and that requiring cage-free housing for egg-laying chickens would increase the costs of eggs from an average of $1.68 per dozen to $2.10 per dozen. Groups representing livestock and land interests have asked a committee in the U.S. House of Representatives to reform the Endangered Species Act. In a letter to Representative Doc Hastings, a Republican from Washington, chairman of the House Natural Resources Committee, the groups are calling for more rigorous criteria in making listing decisions for various species, including the use of peer-reviewed science in reaching decisions. And China has cut its 2012 growth target to an 8-year low of 7.5% and made boosting consumer spending the year's first priority. China lowered the target from a long-standing annual goal of 8%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. He's also co-host of tomorrow's all-day Agricultural Outlook meeting at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. If you have your tickets, make sure you come and see us tomorrow. You know, up next, the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale is a seminal event for the beef industry in the state and the Midwest. I'll have more on why and how the sale and 4-H have been tied together to improve the quality of beef cattle. Every February, beef cattle producers gather on the Illinois State Fairgrounds for one of the best auctions of the year. On the block are performance-tested bulls. These are animals that have been monitored since birth for all kinds of important data points. Data that makes a difference to the profitability of the farm and to consumers, says Tom Sachs.
We need to be an industry that is production-oriented, and by evaluating this data and basing selection on this information, while we are more productive.
So the bulls in the sale are evaluated on data which predicts how well their offspring will perform as beef cattle. Illinois has gone one step further back in this process in hopes of improving the herd and educating potential beef producers. Now, this particular sale includes three bulls that were shown at the Illinois State Fair by 4-H'ers in past years. The show ring class included the bull and its mother. The 4-H'ers had to keep track of the data on both animals. Austin Rinker, a 2010 University of Illinois grad, has a pair of bulls in the sale. He showed their mother in the performance cow class as a 4-H'er a few years ago.
The best way to describe that, I mean, we're looking at all different birth weights, weaning weights, how those cows are going to grow, how they're going to perform, and just using those tools as better predictors, I guess, would be the best way to say it. And it's just kind of neat how bringing all those tools together.
Tools going all the way back to Rinker's days as a 4-H'er and that helped to set him, others like him, and the beef cattle industry in Illinois on a more successful path.
I think so, and it's a great program. Talking about those young producers and just education, I think it's a great way for that young individual just to kind of get a real hands-on approach with dealing with numbers, EPDs, and using those tools to better select animals for their operation and just kind of laying the groundwork for a cow herd for that young man or woman.
The performance cow class at the Illinois State Fair and the performance tested bull sale, also held on the fairgrounds, are events designed to educate, promote, and move an industry and the people in it forward. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. The folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County on the phone line with us to take a look at the cash grain market. Greg Johnson is with us. Thanks, Greg, for taking the time.
You're welcome, Todd.
Okay, so producers excited about the potential of $13 beans, and they been calling you with, bids to sell?
I think they're excited, but it hasn't translated into calls in to sell. I think most of them are pretty well set, content with what they need to sell. They will sell on rallies, and we did see that last week. But today, maybe it's just too early, or maybe they're getting ready to hear what the experts have to say tomorrow, but didn't translate into a lot of selling today.
I get a kick. You get to be an expert tomorrow. We're all experts tomorrow. Well, maybe you know what? We won't be quite 50 miles from home, will you?
Really? That's right. We'll be an expert if we're not more than 50 miles away.
You'll be close.
Yeah.
We'll be close. So what are we going to talk about tomorrow during the cash grain market segment?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I really think I'll be interested to see how much old crop corn is on hand. Maybe we can do a survey of the farmers. It feels to me like we've got 20% to 30% left, but we've got to stretch that out over the next 6 months. And, you know, I think that's one reason why we've seen old crop corn rally, why the new crop corn is kind of just lollygagged around here, not going down, but certainly not going up as much as the old crop corn.
Well, if we have that much left, how would that compare to norm?
I'd actually think that's a little bit less, you know, for this early, because we've been in this 20% to 30% range for, you know, probably a month, month and a half, that we really haven't seen a lot of old crop sales. So I think the farmers have been, you know, this 70%, 75% sold for quite some time now. And, you know, with a relatively tight inventory, with the rumors of China potentially coming and only one bad crop away from who knows what, I mean, I think farmers are perfectly content to wait and see what happens with that last 20-25%.
The March is kind of a big month. We just set crop insurance numbers, and now we'll get a WASDE report this week, and then, of course, acreage numbers at the end of the month.
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of the traders and farmers are thinking that maybe acres can shift even at this late date, and I'm sure they can on the peripheral, but a lot of people made those decisions back in November and December, so I guess it'll be interesting to see, you know, how the actual planting numbers change from the March 31 numbers and see if the market really has been buying some acres here as of late.
The Andersons is also an ethanol company at this point. What do you hear about ethanol and its ability to be produced in the coming months?
Well, I think, you know, margins have obviously shrunk to zero to negative in the short run, but you know, you can lock in some of those ahead of time, and I don't think everyone's going to just completely shut down. They're hoping that one or two other places shut down first, and the resulting ones that still are processing will still be able to make some money. So, you know, the numbers can come down from the 5 billion bushel, you know, but I don't think it shrinks dramatically. And, you know, that can be certainly offset by export demand to China or some other country, or a smaller crop later on this year.
And what are your bids for the day?
Old crop corn, 672. New crop corn, 546. The old beans are 1311. New beans, 1259. And new crop wheat is 663.
See you bright and early tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That is Greg Johnson. He's with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. In just a couple minutes, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy about the agricultural weather forecast. We'll say, of course, goodbye to a few of our radio stations. For the rest of you, stay with us.
It's National Cheese Doodle Day. The cheese-flavored snack debuted sometime in the 1950s. They were invented at the old London Melba Toast factory in the Bronx when workers discovered a machine that extruded cornmeal in a long air-filled string. They chopped the string into bite-sized pieces and coated it with cheese. By the way, the product has always been baked, not fried. On this day in agricultural history in 1558, Francisco Hernandez supposedly introduced tobacco to Europe. At first, it was grown only as an ornamental plant. It was not until the 1580s that tobacco smoking caught on in Europe with the return of some Virginia colonists. They created a stir by smoking tobacco from pipes. In 1836, on this day, Charles Goodnight was born. He is said to have devised the first chuck wagon from an army wagon in the 1850s or 1860s, with various shelves and compartments for food, equipment, utensils, and medical supplies. In 1893, Emmett J. Culligan was born. He was the founder of the water treatment company that carries his name. And in 1991, on this day, the nation's 5,000,000th patent was issued to Lonnie O. Ingram of the University of Florida. The patent was for a genetically engineered form of the E. coli bacterium that converts plant material into ethanol. It took Ingram and his team 2 years of work and $150,000 to convert almost any biomass into fuel. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago is John Davis. Oh, John was on the phone line with us, but we'll try to get him back on in just a second to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Let me remind you that you can always listen to us online if you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, we should have John Davis on the phone line with us momentarily to take up the agricultural weather forecast. Oh, he's not there again. What did I do? Well, what do you know? Oh, I just hung up on him. That's too bad, isn't it? We'll try it one more time. Hang on, let me give myself a little more time this time around. John Davis is on the phone line with us. Hi, John. How are you?
Hey, Todd. How are you?
Well, I was doing really good, and then I hung up on you, I think, not once, but twice.
It's happened before.
Oh, it happened. So I only left you about a minute and 20 seconds to tell us the forecast. So highlight it for me, please.
Well, the way that the pattern is, the biggest feature of the pattern coming up is that the central and eastern U.S. is going to be going unseasonably warm over the next couple of weeks, and that will raise soil temperatures across all sections of the central and eastern U.S. Virtually all the winter wheat will come out of dormancy across the plains and on into the Midwest. So it's going to be a pattern that is a bit more typical of late April and early May than the early portion of March.
All right. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
That is John Davis. He's with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon to take up the agricultural weather forecast. Thanks to him for being so patient with me as I blew through part of his programming for the afternoon. You can always hear him again if you'd like off our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for Stock and Commodity Reports on Illinois Public Media comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, now hosting risk management seminars. A complete list of seminars is at sfarmmarketing.com. Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.